So this is the second week of our series on being an overcomer. Now, being an overcomer is challenging, and you know it's like wrestling the bear. Sometimes you win, sometimes the bear wins, right? But being an overcomer is a lifestyle, and it's a desire to keep moving forward. And so over the next several weeks, we're going to look at how to be a biblical overcomer. And here's our definition of what overcomer is. It means to get the better of in a struggle or a conflict, or to overcome the enemy, to prevail over opposition, debility, or temptations, to overcome one's weakness. And all of us have a struggle from time to time, day to day, week to week, month to month. We are all overcomers at one time or another. And the challenge that we face is being a biblical overcomer when it comes to life's challenges. Now, to quickly recap from last week, we looked at the fact that Paul validates the statement that the struggle's real. Life is hard. Sometimes it's real hard. Sometimes it's really, really hard. And Paul divides the struggle into two types of struggles. There's the physical struggle, and that could be health and ailments and those sort of things. And then there's the spiritual struggle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, and other darkness. And so there's two types of struggles. Both require us to be an overcomer, and both are strategic and difficult and real. And Paul gave us a tremendous illustration of what is the foundational step if we're to be an overcomer. And we came to the conclusion of this, is if we're truly going to overcome the world and all that's in it, we must begin with a relationship with Jesus Christ through faith. And in that relationship, it affords us what the Bible calls the armor of God. And Paul described a helmet and a breastplate and a belt and a sword and a shield. All of these things are afforded to us that we might overcome. And Paul says that we have the liberty to pick them up or to lay them down. We also have the ability or the inability to pay close attention to them, to take good care of them, and to not allow them to diminish, decay, or otherwise become unusable. Pardon me. And so the challenge that we face is when we're striving to be overcomers, are we doing it fully prepared with all that God has given to us? And so this week, we're going to look at a story of David and Goliath, one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. A willing warrior and an unlikely hero, these two. And this is one of the greatest overcomer stories in all of the Bible. Now, when we have a trial, a tribulation, or something to overcome, we really have three responses. One is to just ignore it. Does anyone ever do that? Can I ask us, anybody hear a noise on your car and you just ignore it? Does anybody have one of those lights down there, like, you know, like right there in your car, and you just ignore it? Anybody ever ignore that little gauge? It's on the left or the right, depending, and it has an F at the top and an E at the bottom. Anybody ever do that? How about this? Does anyone ever ignore it when it's at the E and there's either a light or a digital message? Denial is not just a river in Egypt. Man, I'm going to use that one more often. And if I'm being completely honest, there are times in my life when I have practiced the art of denial. You just, if you don't look at it, it's not there. Or if I just let it wait, it'll go away. Those sort of things. Well, if you're like me, you find that denial very, very rarely works. Denying that there's a struggle, denying that there's a challenge, denying that there's a fear, denying that there's those sort of things in our lives, it's non-productive. If anything, if it's neutral at all, if anything, it's destructive. And then the second not so productive response is this one. We run from them. If you're wondering what this little girl has in her hands, it's a tube of the mini M&Ms. And I, in my picture in my head, her mom just says, "Hey, baby, you got to share them with your brother." And she's gone. But, you know, sometimes we'll try to deny. Sometimes we'll try to run. We can find ourselves running from relationships. We can find ourselves running from responsibilities. We can find ourselves running from groups and organizations. We can find ourselves, we feel like the best way is to run away. But the problem is when we run away, we just take whatever it is we're wrestling with us. Wherever we are, it is. And that is not a productive way to resolve and to live and to be an overcomer. You know, one of the challenges we face inside the church is this, is sometimes disagreement, disillusionment, discouragement, those type of things will come into a person's life, and they'll think the best thing they can do is run away. And that's not a productive thing, because whatever they're wrestling with, they're just going to take to the next place. And so when folks come to ALF, we always like to have the conversation. Hey, what's going on in your life? How do you find yourself here? You know, how were things at your previous church? Because we want to help resolve those things so that moving forward, we can be the most healthy. If you'd like to join me today, our focus passage is 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm not going to read the entire passage. We're going to walk down through it. But if you'd like to, I'd encourage you to read the entire passage. It's a bit lengthy. And I've entitled it, The Brawl for It All. Have you ever had a struggle in your life that in the midst of that struggle, you thought, this is the brawl for it all? This is the one. Anybody? I hate to confess this, but I'm going to do it. 14 years I've been here. So let's call it 20 years. We'll just call it 20. 20 years ago, Dr. Kelly Carr and I had been working together, serving together for a decade. To say that we were close would be a gross understatement. And he comes into my office and he hands me this notebook and he says, hey, read this and tell me what you think. And as I'm reading it, it's a prospectus for a church plant in Phoenix, Arizona. And as I'm reading this, I'm going, well, all right. And I'm reading this and I realize, wait a minute. They've only got one staff person mentioned in this. So I carry it back into him. I said, well, this is pretty good. I said, but I don't see me mentioned in it. You know why? I wasn't going. And with Kelly relocating, a dear friend, a mentor, a leader, and leaving me, I felt, quote, abandoned, leaving me behind. I can remember having a very heartfelt conversation with my parents because I felt my life was kind of falling in. You know, what am I going to do now? How unfair is this? What am I not good enough? Yada, yada, yada. And in that moment, it seemed like the brawl for it all. Well, in hindsight, it really wasn't. God had a tremendous plan. And if I had followed what I thought the plan was, I would have missed everything that the plan truly was. So one of the things that I have to remind myself, and I want to encourage you with, is this. Is not every brawl is the brawl for it all. It may feel like it, but it's not. So let's look. This particular conflict happened in Israel. And this is a map. If you're looking at the map, the blue swath over on one side, that's the Mediterranean Sea. And over there where you see the word Judah, there's Bethlehem, Jerusalem, Hebron right there. So that would be the west of Israel. And if you're moving towards the east, if you're moving towards the coast, there's the Valley of Elah. And if you can imagine the armies of God and the armies that opposed God had come together in this valley. Now, if you were to go there today, this is what the valley looks like. And if you can imagine one army on the hill across the road and the other army on the hill closest to us, the one we're standing on, and then right there is where this battle took place. So if you can imagine, they're standing close enough to see each other. As a matter of fact, you'll see in a moment, they're standing close enough to yell at insults at each other. And so they're facing each other for battle. So let's pick up. Chapter 17, verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. Now, the first overcomer's challenge is this, is when you see the size of the challenge. Sometimes the challenge is a lot smaller than it looks like, right? Sometimes the challenge is a lot bigger than it looks like. So the first challenge that we face as an overcomer is recognizing the size of the challenge. So here was Goliath. He was from Gath, the land of giants. Now, the reason it's called that is this. If you remember when Moses and the children of Israel had come to the promised land the first time, and they sent spies into the land, And they went in and they looked around and they spied around and they came back and they said, there's giants in the land. To them, we're like grasshoppers. Well, this is those people. These people were inordinately large for the time. The average height of the Hebrew, they say, was probably, you know, 5'5" to 5'9", you know, about average height, about my height. And this man and these people were inordinately big. And I know you're asking yourself, how big was he? Well, we believe he was about 9 feet tall or so. Now, there's not anyone alive right now who's 9 feet tall on our earth that I'm aware of. 9 feet, 9 inches. How tall is that? That's almost the height of a basketball rim, to give you a perspective. So if you can imagine me standing next to a basketball rim, there's a significant difference. And I would feel like a grasshopper. His weight, we would estimate based on the size that we perceived him to be, would be about 450 pounds. Now, that guy would break a scale. And on top of that, we know history tells us that he had four brothers. So there wasn't just this dude, but now he had a whole stable. He had a whole basketball team. I wonder if they could win the NBA championship. I'll have to think about that later. And Goliath was the champion for his army. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, all right? Verses 5 through 7. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of scale armor and bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves. And a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels, and his shield bearer went ahead of him. Now, again, we're looking at the size. Now we want to look at the sight of Goliath. We see how big the problem is. Now we have to evaluate what it looks like. Can I ask you this? When we are up against something, have you ever seen something, a challenge or an obstacle or a difficulty that was different than what you thought it was? Yeah, we can't always trust our eyes, right? If you've ever been on the internet, you can't always trust your eyes. And so here we see Goliath was a hulk of a man, but now we see the sight of Goliath. The armor weighed 125 pounds. So this cat weighed, you know, we'll give him 4 1/4. Now we put on 125 pounds of armor. His spear shaft, just the shaft of his spear, weighed about 25 pounds. And then the spear head weighed about 15 pounds. This man was intimidating at every point. And to be standing there against a man who was fully armored would have been truly intimidating. Now, here's an interesting thing. Is Goliath was wise enough to walk onto the field of battle fully armored. Do you remember what Paul said last week? Is that if we're going to be overcomers, we too must what? Battle with our full armor on? Put on the whole armor of God? And the challenge that we face is this. Sometimes we try to go do battle with a fully armored problem, only half armored. And can I just say this also? If the devil knows what he needs to win, we should know what we need to win. And we need to put that on and practice with those things. Now, verse 8 through 11. Goliath stood and shouted at the ranks of Israel. Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and to kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Then the Philistine said, this day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. One hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So now we see the challenge. We see the size of Goliath. We see the sight of the Goliath. Now we hear the shout of Goliath. For 40 days, twice a day, he walks down into the valley and he stands and he looks up towards the army of Israel and he taunts them. Can I ask you this? Has there ever been something in your life that you're striving to overcome and it taunts you on a regular basis? It just keeps coming and it just keeps coming and it just keeps coming and it just keeps coming. Well, Goliath twice a day would come out ready for battle, fully armored. and he would taunt the army of God, and he would taunt the God of the nation of Israel. And I can only imagine what else he says. Now, if you don't judge me, I'm seeing him standing on a tall wall like in Monty Python, but don't judge me for that. But twice a day he would come out. Sometimes to be an overcomer means that we have to listen to the distraction. He was a champion for his team. And what he was calling out for was a champion. He says, send me one person. Give me just one person, and we're going to battle it out. And when we battle it out, the winner owns the loser's team. Now you say, well, that's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? Well, no, it's really not. Because if you're the army that you think is going to win this battle, you don't want to kill all the people you're about to take captive. And if you're the army who thinks they might lose, you don't want all of your people to get killed, because one day you hope to be free again. And so Goliath, and this was very typical in the time, he says, send me a champion and we're going to fight it out. Now, can I just give you a little something extra here? It only took one man to be our champion. And it's not Billy Graham, God bless him. And it's not Donald Trump, God bless him. It's not Benjamin Netanyahu, God bless him. It's not Josh Slinkard, God bless him. Or Jeff Phillips, God bless, or Ronnie McKinney, God bless him. Who is the champion? Who is our, it's Jesus. We have a champion. And he stepped forward and he won the victory. You see, you and I aren't the champion, we serve the champion. We're in partnership with the champion. We're walking with the champion. And so the overcomer's challenge is to not listen to, we don't want to ignore it's not there, we don't want to try to run away from it, but the shout of the challenge that's before us. Now, there was a man named David. At this time, David was a young man. He had been anointed to be the next king of Israel. He was the smallest, the scrawniest, the least respected of the eight sons of Jesse. But he was a faithful young man. David was a shepherd. David was a servant. He had played in the king's palace, harp, and he was quite talented at it. And one day he would be king. Now what has happened here is this. The nation of Israel has gathered, and they're going to do war. And David's father packs up his boys a sack lunch. And he says, David, take this to your brothers and tell me, find out what's going on. Now, if you've ever been the young guy who gets left out, if you've ever been the young gal that gets left out, the only place you want to be is where everybody is. And so he very excitedly runs to the front, and when he gets there, things aren't quite what he thought they were going to be. Look at verse 26. David asked the men standing near to him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes the disgrace from Israel? So he arrives and he's hearing Goliath out there taunting God and the army of Israel. He says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he would defy the armies of the living God? David goes, well, who is this cat? And what gives him the right? You see, David was upset not because of who he was. David was not upset about how he looked. He was upset that that man was offending his God. There's a righteous indignation, ladies and gentlemen. And David says, who is this guy that he would stand against the God of Israel? Who is this guy who would stand there and say, you know, in my mind I'm thinking he's saying your mama jokes. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. It's channel 3. But David is saying, wait a minute, this whole army standing here, you came out here to fight these cats. You've been out here at least 40 days, and now you're just standing around listening to the big mouth. Is somebody going to get up and do something? You ever feel that way in life? Would somebody just do something? Now we see the conviction of David. David stepped up when the king shrunk back. Even the king of Israel wouldn't step out and face the giant. Let's look at David's courage. But David said to Saul, King Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. David says, listen, I've been killing stuff for a long time. Lions and bears and, what's the Winnie the Pooh? Lions, what's it? Lions, tigers, and bears, okay. But David says, listen, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I've been out in the woods. I've been out with by myself. And when trouble came to me, I brought trouble to it. I'm not afraid. And now let's look at the confidence of David. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. David says, I know how to kill. It's not a problem. I've been knocking down problems a lot. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. And so now we see this. He has a confidence. God has done it before. God will do it again. One of the greatest struggles as a believer is this, is believing in and leaning against the consistency of our God. Because we often judge the consistency of God based on how we feel about the current situation. Well, here's David's strategy. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic and put on a coat of armor and on him a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened his sword over the tunic, tried walking around because he was not used to them. I cannot carry these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them off. Now here's Saul. He doesn't have the courage to go fight Goliath, but he's going to respect the courage of this young man. He says, well, David, you go get some. He says, but before you go, let me give you the king's armor. Let me give you the best of the best. And so he dresses him up for war, and David's, you know, ambling around in this garb that he's never wore, and David goes, King, this isn't going to work. I don't know how to use any of this. It's cumbersome. I don't need it. One of the challenges that we face as overcomers is sometimes we try to put on too much of other people's stuff. Now, there's a lot of good stuff out there. There's a lot of great books. There's a lot of great videos. There's a lot of good TED Talks and all those things. I'm not saying any of those things are wrong. But what I'm saying is this, is sometimes we can become so encumbered in good stuff that we miss the best stuff. You see, David didn't go to someone else's opinion of what he needed. He stayed with what he knew he needed. He was going to keep it simple. To be an overcomer, we don't need to overthink the process. One of the challenges we face, I had a conversation with someone just this week, and I said, young man, I said, you're talking about Mount Everest. I said, you're just trying to get up an overpass. There, you know, the reasoning behind it and the fear behind it and all these things. I said, you're not trying to do this right now. You're just trying to do this. But you're worrying about this. You just got to keep it simple. You got to take it one day at a time. You got to take it one event at a time. You're not talking about finishing the whole life today. We become so overcommitted. We become overanalyzed. We concentrate. Now, this is going to be good. I'm going to say this one. We contemplate until we constipate. That's right. That's right. That's right. I wasn't going to let that one go. He says, I'm going to go out with what I know. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in hand, he approached the Philistine. He went with what he knew. You've heard me say it a lot over the recent days, and I'm going to keep saying it. We are overcomers through Christ, not in spite of or along with. We are overcomers through Christ. And the only way we can know what we know is if we know what we should know. We have to be students of what God has given to us. Otherwise, we don't know the promises. He went with what he knew. He went with a sling. He went prepared for the future. He picked up 5 smooth stones. This gets overlooked quite a bit, but it's very important. Now, if you're not familiar with the story, or you're not familiar with the history, you'd say, well, the reason he picked up 5 was what? He needed 4 just in case. There's not a military personnel, there's not a police personnel who would walk out and put 1 round in their weapon. Wouldn't do it. We're going to go fully loaded for bear, right? Well, surely that's what David's doing, right? He might miss with the first one. He might have a misfire. No. No, you see, Goliath had 4 brothers. And David says, well, we'll go as long as hard as you want. Now, what this also says is this. Is if he only picked up 5 and he had 4 brothers, there was a confidence in the 1. He went in faith. He picked up 5 and he went in faith, not in fear. He wasn't afraid of missing. He wasn't afraid of what was going to be coming. He picked up 5 because, you know what, there's going to be a battle after this one. And David said to the Philistine, you come against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day, behold, this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. Tomorrow's got enough trouble of its own. I can't go back to yesterday and change it. Goliath, behold, this day, before the sun sets, before the evening news, before dinner time, this day, the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. This very day, I will give your carcass, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. We see a strategy, we see a sling, now we see a shot. Reaching into his bag, he took out a stone and he slung it and he struck the Philistine on the forehead. Now, the Philistine helmet was very unique. It came down across his brow, would come around and would have a space where his nose would fit through. So the space in his forehead, right about there, would have been probably about this size. If you've ever watched Swamp People, it's like shooting one of them gators. If you've ever been to the movie, perhaps you've heard of it, Star Wars. It's a 1-in-a-million shot. His shot was practiced. He'd been killing critters with that sling a long time. See, one of the challenges is if we're going to be overcomers, if we've got to practice like we need to play on game day. You don't just get to show up and bat 1,000. You don't just get to show up and shoot a hole in one. You see, he was performing like he had practiced. Secondly, he was patient. Now, if you can imagine these two guys standing probably 100 yards apart, give or take a scotch. And in my righteous mind, I see David start to swing that thing. And you know what he does is he doesn't stand way back because, you know, the odds go down the further back you are. because he's been doing this for a while, you remember? He knows what the kill range of his instrument is. And he listen, you need to go home and Google this and watch these guys over in the Middle East. And they get that thing. They're not playing. And I could see him charging Goliath. And you know what? I can see Goliath and all of his smugness go, party on. And he just starts walking towards him because you know what? Goliath's going, well, this is going to be easy. Look at this. Who is this guy? He didn't even come with a weapon. You see, part of becoming an overcomer is being patient. Those who wait on the Lord, what? Can I ask you this? How easy is patience? The one thing you do not want to pray for is patience. If you really want to get back at someone, you pray that they learn patience. But he runs towards Goliath, and you know why he has to be patient? Because if he does it in his time, in his methodology, he'll fail. He called the shot. Today, God is going to give you to me. And so for God to give you to me, then I have to do it in God's timing, in his power. And he waits. And when he gets to the right place, in the right time, with the right energy, and the right angle, and all the rights, can I just say this? Anybody who believes in evolution has never watched NBA basketball. Can you tell me how a man's mind can stand 30 feet away from a bucket this big and calculate arc, distance, energy, all that to make that ball go through there? Just like this. Tell me. So when he reaches that point, he lets it go. And it was practiced, it was patient, and it was precise. There was only one place that was going to kill that guy. He goes a little high, it bounces off his armor. He might get a headache. Goes a little low, might crack him in the chin. And now he's got a cute little scar to tell all the girls about. Anywhere else, it's a wasted shot. But God is always precise. God is always on time. God never makes mistakes. God never bats 999%. God's always 1,000. And oh, can you imagine the surprise in Goliath's head? Yes, double entendre. When that thing cracked him between the eyes. And in my mind, it's kind of like, and down he goes. And the dust bellows up. And his army's like, what? And the Israelite army's like, what? And David goes, give me his sword. David goes and takes his sword and separates his mind from his ailments. Here's what we as overcomers are called to. We're called to refuse. We're called to reinforce. We're called to reflect. We're called to run. And we're called to remember. And I know you're asking, where's the rest of it? You ask such good questions. We must refuse to be discouraged by our friends and our family. No one on David's side believed David was going to win. Even his brothers go, oh, you're just about the fame and glory. You just want people to talk about you, David. Sounds like big brothers, doesn't it? Can I say this? Even Saul didn't think he was going to win. David dismissed the opinions of others for the facts of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we must be very careful that we don't live our life of faith based on the opinions of others. We must refuse to be discouraged. We must reinforce our focus on God. David didn't allow himself to be distracted by the challenge. He reminded himself and remained devoted to the Lord. We cannot be distracted by the challenge. We must keep our eyes on the Lord. If you read your Bible, anytime someone takes their eyes off the Lord, the next step is problematic. And when we focus on the challenge more than we focus on the Father, the next step is going to be problematic. We must reinforce whose we are and what he has promised to us. Thirdly, we must reflect on our previous victories. Ladies and gentlemen, if God has done it before, he'll do it again. David said, I killed the lion, and I killed the bear, and he's just the next thing up the food chain. God has done it before, and he'll do it again. My friends, God is not running scared from the world. God is not running afraid from your challenge and my challenge. God will see us through like he always does. We must run toward the problem and not away from it. We talked about this in the first hour. There's three responses when we come up against an obstacle. The first is denial. And denial doesn't get you anywhere. The second is to run from it. But if you run from it, you just take it with you. People run from challenges all the time. They run into alcohol bottles and pills bottles. People run into the wilderness and a lot of places to try to get away from. But you know what? You can't run away from it. Wherever you are, it's where it is. If we're to be an overcomer, we need to run towards the problem and take it head on, believing that God will see us through. There's a season for these things. We must remember who we're fighting for. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. What God has begun in you and through you, he promises he's going to complete. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. A wise man who I don't know who to give credit to said this, a man or a woman is invincible until God's purpose is complete. We have to remember, if we're going to be overcomers, we have to remember who we're fighting for and who we're fighting with. Here's our verse again, verse Romans 8, our victory verse. In these things, in all of these things, what is all? Fill in the blank. I don't know what your all is today. I've got a few alls going on in my life right now. I don't know what your all is, but I know what some of mine are. In all of these things, we have complete victory. Well, marginal victory, right? So-so victory. Kind of victory. Victory light. Victory-ish? No. Mm-mm. In him, we have complete victory. Now, can I tell you what one of those challenges are? It's how you and I define victory. Because the way the Father defines victory and the way we define victory may not be the same. But when we define victory by the way he defines it, we are always, always, always in complete victory through him who loves us. We talked about this in the early hour too. Is, you know, the old adage is God will never give you more than you can handle. That's just not true. Life will give you more than you can handle. Really will. There's people in your life that live to give you more than you can handle. If you've ever had children, you asked for more than you could handle. It's only when we come to the end of ourselves by nature do we begin to rely on God. When we come to the end of ourselves, that's where we realize I need more than what I have. I need the Lord. And as we mature, we realize we don't need to be all the way down to the bottom of the barrel before we start leaning in instead of leaning out. I don't know what you're working to overcome right now. But my friends, seek the Lord. Press on. And victory will be yours. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. And Lord, I thank you for the truth of this message in my own life. Lord, help the preacher to be preached to. And Father, I pray for each and every one of us. Lord, you know exactly where we are. You know exactly what our challenge is. You know exactly what our Goliath is today. And Lord, you say that we could be overcomers. And we say we have a choice. We could try and do it ourselves. We can try not to do it at all, or we can choose to do it with you, through you, and by you. Father, I pray for each and every one of us, whatever our Goliath is, Lord, that we'll choose to do it with you. For you are our victory. Father, help us to see you, help us to trust you, help us to walk in you. And Lord, when we slay that giant, help us to glorify you, that the world might know there is a God who loves and provides. Father, we love you for David. We thank you for all that he is, Lord. We even thank you for his shortcomings and your grace in them and through them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.